Once the one in Getty soap with my dad and Joe Getty. Can I press that bad button?
Are we ready to start?
1, 2, 3.
I'm a proud Democrat, but first and foremost, I'm a proud Republican and Democrat and mostly American.
Can you believe in miracles? Yes, you can!
Why are you here? You're supposed to be asleep!
Wake up!
On a shucky-ducky kind of day,
he's bare-chested and banging his chest. The guy is drunk, but there he goes!
I'm f***ing up and ready and running.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yeah.
Real classy. Why don't we just go to the story?
Talk radio has made people lack confidence in a lot of our existing institutions.
The best place to get real information is the Armstrong and Getty Show.
They don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump.
Well, who wouldn't want an opportunity to talk to Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty?
Why are you here today?
I don't watch the news.
The birthplace of talk radio.
Well, Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, who host the popular radio talk show, ask the same question of their listeners, and here's their response.
I give you America itself.
This is Ed McMahon. And now, here's Armstrong and Getty. Understanding of the situation is that Jack is being let in the door because he didn't have his little electronic fobby thing.
That is correct, sir.
And I'm running around trying to find my stuff, my headphones and everything from yesterday.
I saw them.
I know where they are.
Oh.
Where are they, dude?
In your office.
Really?
Yeah, I put them there.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks. Did I leave them in here?
Yeah, I saw them sitting there after the show
and
yesterday.
The thieving thieves might have thieved them,
right,
so you put them in the office to help me. Thanks, bro. Blah, blah. We call him the White Flash as he comes running through the newsroom. Ladies and gentlemen, the co-host, Jack Armstrong. We haven't even done the introduction yet. I was giving the lay of the land to the good folks in the listening audience.
You know, my personality has made me less critical of my oldest son, who got the same, unfortunately, same part of the brain that I have in certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, bro.
So, like, this morning, I got my thing where I'm heading out the door. I got my cell phone, stick my finger in my pocket, got my key card,
mm-hmm.
got my things.
Right.
I get here, my key card's not in my pocket.
Why?
Who knows? Who knows? With me, who knows? I took it out and put it in the fridge. I swallowed it. Who knows?
Inserted it rectally.
Who freaking knows?
Right.
I find my cell phone, you know, in my sock drawer sometimes. It just, I don't freaking no!
Right.
But my son is like that.
Right.
And if I wasn't like that, I might be pretty hard on him.
Mm.
But because I am like that, I realize, you know, I've been trying for decades for some of this stuff, and for whatever reason, it's just impossible.
You know?
And it's as frustrating for me as anybody.
That's funny.
God dang it!
Maybe I'm just more kind and merciful. I always took it the opposite way. I thought, wow, now my kids are trying. They're obviously just built that way. Maybe I should forgive myself. But I am a direct descendant of both Lincoln's Secretary of War and St. Francis of Assisi.
If I did,
I don't talk about it much because I'm so merciful.
If I did just drop my key card onto the driveway, I can tell you right now, it's in my dog's belly as we speak.
Oh, boy.
He has eaten it.
Key card eating some bitch, huh?
So, which means my only choice now is to bring my dog to work and hold him up to the door.
That seems like a practical
solution.
So
that I can get in every day.
I'm pro having a dog around.
Oh, yeah. You know, I ought to bring Baxter in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Baxter, the new dog.
And bring him in.
Joyous, what would the boss lady say? Is that strict for Bolton?
She might not notice.
Why did I bring it up?
She might not notice. We had a meeting with our agent yesterday, and there was a dog present, and it was freaking awesome.
It was great.
Did that make the meeting worse or better?
Yeah,
clearly better. Absolutely.
Although, my God, I got home from Baxter. He knew I'd cheated on him.
Oh.
Oh, my God. He was so angry. He was so hurt. The tears, the tail down. Oy.
The pug didn't even notice the smell on me. I actually called him over.
Hard of smelling.
Because
there he is. There he is.
Get a nose, I always say to him. Get a nose.
Get a face. It's not flat.
Let's introduce everybody in the squad. We'll start over there with our board operator, Michelangelo, pressing buttons, flipping toggles, pulling levers. How are you this morning, Michael?
I'm okay. It's December 14th. There's only 11 days till Christmas, and I've decided that this year...
That's close.
Never mind that. There's 5 days till my wife's birthday, but go on.
It's too close for me to justify spending much money on a Christmas tree, so I'm going to go without a Christmas tree, I think, this year.
What?
Which kind of depressing.
Oh, Tannenbaum.
How's your girlfriend feel about that? Or does she have a tree at her house, her place?
No.
Or are you living in sin? Let's answer all these questions.
We're living in sin, if you must know. But.
Yes!
No Christmas tree?
Yes! We get the pro-sin vote there.
But no Christmas tree.
You gotta have a Christmas tree.
You've given up on life if you don't have a Christmas tree.
At least go to one of your big box type stores and get you a little 2 foot tall artificial one with lights. Plug that puppy in, it'll lift your spirits, then get a dog that'll lift your spirits even more.
Because I've already wrapped the presents, they're sitting in the corner, but there's no tree or anything to put on.
Oh, that's just sad. Dang it, that's out of Charles Dickens. You're bringing us down.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, my mom and dad would talk about how when they were first married, before they had kids, they just had this little 2 foot tree they would put on the table. That's what you gotta have.
Yeah, we have like a juniper outside. I was thinking about cutting that up and maybe putting it inside, but sort of pretending it's a Christmas tree. I guess I'll go get a real one.
Your neighbor's got too many trees anyway. You got too many trees. Listen, the 2 foot tree story. Mm-hmm. That's a tiny little tree, huh? But that little tree is the difference between a very, very sad story and a charming reminiscence. Michael, what do you want in the future? Sadness or charming reminiscence?
All right, I'll go get a 3 foot tree.
Merry Christmas.
There is positive Sean, whose smile lights up the room. How are you, Sean? Who cheered for Living in Sin?
I'm also cheering for going to see the Star Wars The Last Jedi tonight. I will have my full review on this very show tomorrow. If you need something to tide you over until you see it. Now, I've watched the trailer probably 50, 60 times, somewhere in that range.
Wow.
So
that's normal.
But I did that so you didn't have to.
Sure.
Put up a video where I point out the things that I have noticed in the trailer. So if you want a little bit more of my perspective before you see it, you can check that out at armstrongandgettyradio.com.
Yeah, I will watch that because your last video was good. There's Marshall Phillips, who does our news every day. How are you, Marshall?
Well, I got to tell you, Michael, you and I are in the same camp. I made a major holiday decorating decision yesterday. No tree. No tree this year at all. Too much money, too much trouble. So I bought a couple of pine tree branches, boughs to decorate, a little tinsel, some ornaments, and that's pretty much it. I'm back to my true bachelor roots. No lights, nothing. Back to the basics.
Yeah, when I was a single guy, I never had a tree. Never one time.
You know, I like the smell, so that's why you get a couple of the branches, put those out. And you know, the other thing, too, is I'm going to be gone for over a week over the Christmas break. I'm going to be out O-Town, so I'll enjoy my friend's tree.
There you go. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend usually had a tree.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Festivus pole. You never need to get a new one.
We got one that's good for life.
Right here.
We got one in the corner. Yep. An actual Festivus pole that Marshall ordered.
Yeah. For the rest of us.
Yeah. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this. It is a Thursday. How did it already get to be December the 14th, the year 2017? We are Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
All right, let's begin the show now officially, according to FCC rules and regulations. Here we go at Mark.
This guy does not belong on the national stage. He looks like some disheveled drunk that wandered onto the political stage. This is not the type of person we need in politics. And last night's election was a manifestation of a revulsion by the American people.
Peter King, I know where you're from, and I know you like to knuckle up every now and then, but did you just call Steve Bannon a disheveled drunk?
No, to be very precise, I said he looks like one.
There you go.
I don't know that he's drunk or a drunk.
He looks like
one. But he looks like one.
Well, he does look like one.
It was a manifestation of revulsion? Is that what he said?
I missed that.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. It was a manifestation of the revulsion of the American people.
Well, the old M.O.R.
Yeah, you hate to be that.
Yeah.
What are their headlines, Marshall Phillips?
Well, GOP's wrapping up their tax plan. We got Senator John McCain sidelined. He's back in the hospital. And a great divide on the FCC's internet move coming down today. All those stories and more coming up minutes from now. Armstrong and Getty.
How about the great divide on this FBI story, where either you believe the FBI is completely corrupt, or it's not even a story worth mentioning.
Wow.
Depending on the news outlet.
Wow.
It's that's something.
Divided America.
Yeah.
Stay with us.
How's mailbag look?
Oh, it's really good. I thought she said effing pie right there. That was weird.
This is like a classic from what, the 50s? I doubt they said effing.
It now sounded like she was singing about the effing pumpkin pie. And it freaked me out.
And you think that slipped by for the last 70 years?
No, I just... Sorry.
Oh, nobody noticed it till 2017.
It's unbelievable. Brenda, what's gotten into you?
Oh, boy. We got a lot on the way on the Armstrong and Getty Show. The 10,000 texts between that FBI agent and his lover that are getting more scrutiny.
Oh, yeah, and deserving of it.
Yeah, and we'll have to take a look at some of those. And
I think we've moved from kind of a flavor of anti-Trump and pro-Hillaryism to what seems to be, well, it's a difficult to decode statement, but if it is what it seems to be, it is, if not a smoking gun, a hot one. With shells laying about.
Or it's completely nothing, depending on who you ask. So
Yeah. Very, very odd. And so we'll try to decode that with you later.
Do we have any, just one question, do we have any with produce emojis in them yet?
So far, none of the sexy stuff has come out, which is disappointing to me. Yeah, I know. Come on, you're lovers. Give us a little something.
Nothing?
So far. I mean, I don't know if they're keeping those back out of respect for their privacy or something.
The people have a right to know. The eggplant.
And speaking
Sean of, points out, did it make an appearance?
Speaking of sex, Salma Hayek's claim against Harvey Weinstein is rough.
Yeah. Mailbag. I undersold it. It's outstanding. Glad you're here. First, a quick bit of business. And we have Anton, the executive producer, looking into this. That's not actually his name, so don't get hung up on it. There is some sort of shark dragging cruelty to animal video on the website? We don't post that stuff. Do you know what that is, Sean?
I saw that video. I didn't know if it was on our way. It certainly had the thing of, oh, look at people are looking at this. It's horrible. I didn't see it on our site. I saw it on other sites, and I was like, oh, I don't want to click on that.
So was it an outrage? We've got to, if it's kind of, something you don't want to see, but people ought to be aware of because we got to crack down on this sort of thing. That's different than, hey, look at this. This is funny.
Yes. The ways that I saw it presented were, this is awful. What can we do? Something along those lines.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Although we don't usually traffic in, hey, look at this awful thing that's happening either. Lots of awful things happening.
But we'll look into it. Thank you for expressing your concern, because certainly we're not into cruelty to animals around here, or humans for that matter, unless they have it coming. Let's see. Hi, guys. I'm a listener from Germany. Not an expat. I am European. Hmm? 2 exclamation points. Screw national. You have an international show. Thank you very much, Mateus. I don't really have anything to ask or comment. I just want to thank you for what you do. My family of 3, me, my fiance, and my 7-month-old son, have been going through a tough time lately. My son's kidneys are both defective since birth, meaning we're spending a lot of time in hospitals. Ugh. My fiance is with him 24/7. I try to balance work, home, hospital in the best way I can, which is difficult during Christmas, as we would much rather be at home celebrating, I'd imagine. And he drives a lot back and forth, work, hospital, etc., and listens to the show via podcast. You guys get me laughing again, making sure I regain the energy to be there for my family. Thank you for that. Merry Christmas to you and your closest. Wow. Thank you for the note, sir. And wow.
Congratulations on being a European!
Well,
with exclamation points.
Yeah. Wow. I was thinking of chucking this career for my my amateur mortuary I was talking about yesterday, but maybe I won't. If it's doing people some good, and I would like to say to Matthias, es tut mir leid, herzlichen Glückwunsch, mein guter Mann.
Wow.
Private message.
Gotcha.
In a foreign tongue. Now listen, boys, writes Shane. During your interview with Paul Ryan, that was yesterday, roughly now, we spoke to the Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States of America, because we're very important. During your interview with Paul Ryan, was I the only one who heard him say Green Bay Pecker after singing the praises of Aaron Rodgers?
I did not hear
either.
That.
He was simultaneously trying to win over Packer fans as well as Packer haters, Or maybe he had Rodgers confused with Brett Favre, who famously had no problem showing off his Green Bay pecker. Shane. You're better than that, Shane.
I never even looked at that Brett Favre picture, which, by the way, if that had come out in this current era, he was still playing at the time, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, because he ended up going to Minnesota for a while after that, right?
I think he'd have been done, wouldn't he, in this current era?
NFL quarterbacks.
Sending a picture of his... Johnson
Porter, right?
Or cheerleader or something.
Yeah, somebody. Somebody who hadn't asked for it.
But it would have been a bigger deal than it was at the time. And yeah, it was a fairly big deal at the time.
I would agree.
There is not as deep of a roster of NFL starting quarterbacks as there are of TV newsmen.
Well said.
So yeah.
Coming up, a couple of new scandals not worth spending a lot of time on, but one, a fairly prominent name, has preemptively come out and confessed all. Before anybody bothers to accuse him, which is probably the next chapter.
Interesting move.
Yeah. Hello, Simple Ass Jack and Joe. It's not Simple Ass Jack, it's Simple Jack. Of course, this is a note from Tony the Caustic Mormon.
Well, and even
one of our favorite correspondents.
And even if it were, it'd be Simple Ass Jack, not Simple Ass Jack.
Well, it's not punctuated at all. I would suggest...
What's an ass jack?
Tee this... If you have trouble getting your ass up in the morning, use your ass jack.
Got to change the shoes.
Tee the CM. Who am I to tell you how to be caustic? But I would hyphenate Simple Ass. I would have, the dash in there. Sean's experience at the Oyster Bar reminds me of one of my own. I myself have also slurped down ocean snot. Oysters. And oysters are nasty AF. In fact, when I was in Alaska, I was so damn manly that I reached into the ocean, grabbed an oyster, popped that sumbitch open, and slurped it down raw. It was one of the worst things I have ever done. I would rather chew on positive Sean's cat than eat another raw oyster. Also, word of the wise, if a native Alaskan offers you whale blubber, sea lion meat, or fish oil, do not eat it. It's the most potent, pungent, and all-consuming fishy flavor known to man. Someone please tell them Eskimos that just because their great-great-grandpappy made a habit of eating whales, mermaids, seals, etc., they no longer have to. Your show rocks, signed Tony the Caustic Mormon. That's you rock, T the CM. God dang it, that dude amuses me. Let's see. On the topic of Kristen Gillibrand, the senator from New York who's in a Twitter war with the president, and what Elizabeth Warren said. I meant to get this handy. What did Elizabeth Warren, do we have that tape of what she said? That would be enormously helpful if you could dig that up from yesterday's list, Sean. What do you think? Should we come back to it?
Yeah, give me a second.
All right.
She dropped a slut shaming on Trump.
But I think it'd be more fun to hear the whole thing. But take your time, that's fine. Al Anonymous from beautiful Redding, California, in the northern part of the state. We're huge in the ding. Caveat here, guys, I always told my son if he's threatened or challenged to a fight, you know, this isn't a caveat, this is the theme, this is the statement, this is what I want you to walk away with. I always told my son if he's threatened or challenged to a fight, he needed to back up until he couldn't back up anymore, then make them pay, which I love as a philosophy. Now, there are plenty of little kids out there who can't make, quote unquote, make them pay. They could try. They're physically not able to. But anyway, my son was in the restroom in middle school when he saw a bully messing with a much smaller kid. Told the bully to stop. The bully didn't. Using greater intellect, he called the bully a choice name and then was the focus of the aggression, naturally. My son backed up until he couldn't back up anymore and made him pay. When I picked him up after his suspension, I asked the assistant principal if he was entitled to self-defense. He said he understood, as the kid had been bullying kids for some time, but he couldn't say my son was defending himself because he was straddling the bully, pummeling him. I nodded, said I understood, let him know my son would serve the suspension with pride. I then took my son to lunch, one of my proudest moments. Do we have the Elizabeth Warren thing?
She had it in the tweet. I don't think we actually had the audio of her saying it.
Okay,
we?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hello, is it just me or did Senator Warren indicate that Senator Gillibrand is a slut? Why would she be shamed by someone unless this is the case? Are sluts supposed to be ashamed? Apparently not by Warren's remark. Yeah, can you accuse Kristen Gillibrand or the president of slut shaming if Kristen Gillibrand isn't a slut? Or can you, quote-unquote, slut-shame a woman who is of pure heart?
I think you can. And that was what Trump was trying to do, right? Trying to insinuate she was...
Yeah. No. No, he wasn't. That is your accusation because your mind is in the gutter. Mark of Livermore, good point. Thank you.
News next on the Armstrong and Getty Show. Let's get the news now with Marsha Phillips.
Our Republicans in Congress about to give President Trump his holiday wish in the form of major tax reform, a gift he says is really for the American people.
We want to give you, the American people, a giant tax cut for Christmas. And when I say giant, I mean giant.
Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer, though, is no fan of this.
The longer they take on it, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought they could have made the bill even less favorable to the middle class and more slanted towards the wealthy?
Now, the legislation, which is still being finalized, had cut the top tax rate for the wealthy from 39% to 37%. It would cut corporate income tax rates from 35% to 21%. And it would allow homeowners to deduct interest only on the first $750,000 of a new mortgage.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it's going to help the wealthy, it must be the really, 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 really wealthy, because I know a lot of people that most people would consider wealthy who are sick over this tax thing.
Yeah.
Because their taxes are going to go up a lot. So it ain't for everybody who's considered wealthy that's going to be doing well.
The narratives are so starkly different depending on where you hear the story, the headline.
I know a lot of people that would be considered wealthy who are just, seriously, sick to their stomach over this, of what it's going to do to their taxes. So if it's helping the wealthy, it must be like the wealthiest seven people in America or something.
And honestly, it's one of those deals where if you cut everybody's taxes, most of the benefit will go to the wealthy because most of the taxes are paid by the quote-unquote wealthy. So it's very difficult to quickly characterize who wins and who loses.
What I'm hoping is that the whole economy starts growing and advertisers are advertising more and all that sort of stuff.
Well, not part.
What I'm hoping is that it benefits me, because I'm in it for me. To hell with the rest of you.
I don't think it is.
Not part of the tax discussion right now. Arizona Senator John McCain, he's back in the hospital. He's being treated at Walter Reed in Maryland. His office saying he is being treated for the, quote, normal side effects of his cancer therapy. So he's out of commission now for a while. He's on the sidelines. Meanwhile, Republican Roy Moore is still refusing to concede he lost the special election for the U.S. Senate to Democrat Doug Jones, despite the state's election chief saying that outstanding military, provisional, and write-in ballots are not likely to change the outcome enough for an automatic recount. Moore insisting, though, they need to wait. They need to wait for the final count of all those votes because...
This election was tainted by over $50 million from outside groups who want to retain power in their own corrupt ideology.
Well, the election was mostly tainted by your behavior 30 years ago, yeah. But I don't want to talk about Roy Moore ever again in my life. I'm just done with him. Unless all of a sudden he makes a comeback, but I don't see that happening.
Uh-uh.
Got a Kentucky lawmaker accused of molesting a teenage girl dead of a likely suicide. 57-year-old State Representative Dan Johnson reportedly shot and killed himself last night while driving on a bridge to Mount Washington, Kentucky.
I'm surprised that's the first time this has happened, because there's been a lot of people who were damn high up on the socioeconomic scale who have been laid low. And I'm surprised there haven't been more people decide to kill themselves.
You know, I would say plan number one is to atone for your sins. You know, offer apologies, do real work, try to understand yourself, give to charity, dedicate your life, blah, blah, blah. Plan number two, if you did stuff like that, go ahead and off yourself. We don't want you around. You're a child molester and you've committed crimes and the rest of it.
The FCC, my friends, is set to end net neutrality rules today.
Boo!
The Obama-era rules.
Or yay. Did we decide it's boo? We're against it? Or are we for it?
I have some pros and cons to go over if folks would like to hear those, although, you know, the ship has sailed.
And when does it take effect?
Of course it might sail back. Any minute now.
Do you know, Marshall?
No, I don't know. I mean, they're going to vote on it today.
Uh-huh.
And then after the vote, we'll see. But it's going to be pretty quick. I mean, they're not going to sort of wait around for, you know, 6 months or a year. Although, if they vote to end net neutrality, a number of groups are saying, we're going to take you to court right away. We're going to take the FCC to court. We're going to get this whole thing blocked. So, anyway, the Obama-era rules force internet service providers to treat all traffic equally. Ending the rules means they have the opportunity to speed up, slow down or block traffic from different sites and apps, and supporters of net neutrality argue that ending the rules will give companies like AT&T and Comcast too much control over web traffic and over what they can charge you to gain access to various sites and various programs.
You know, those companies are listed in news stories mostly because they're big and everybody hates them. Rightfully. I don't get my internet from either one of those, but I will tell you this. The idea that they could slow down or block sites that maybe wouldn't play ball with them, or they didn't like, or they don't think I should be looking at, or whatever, that doesn't make me happy.
So if you're Netflix, does this mean you're going to have to pay AT&T a hell of a lot of money to get the super fast? Mm-hmm. So that's bad news for you, but the good news is people are going to get their faster Netflix and maybe like it more and use it more, sign up for more.
Have we been getting it at maximum speed now?
I don't
know. So that extra money will just preserve that?
Or? I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's a wrap. That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips, the Armstrong and Getty Show, the voice of the West.
I'm still using a dial-up modem, so I'm not... Loading.
You've got mail.
Exactly. So we'll catch you up on a whole bunch of different things coming up. Tucker Carlson with some filthy language last night as he was reading some of the FBI texts.
Oh, my.
You see, kids, we used to not be able to be on the internet and on the phone at the same time. That was an impossibility in many households.
Right. Mm,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. In fact, sometimes you'd be downloading, say, 4 pages of text, which would take 15 minutes. And halfway through, someone would call you and ruin the whole thing, and you'd have to start again.
You would download porn, and there'd be a head, and then finally an arm.
No. We're not going to talk about pornography on this show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not as long as I'm the co-host.
From the man who doesn't believe in Christmas.
Yeah. Wow. We're learning more and more about you, Michael, and it's troubling.
Actually, we got a number of texts about us tree shaming Michael and how he shouldn't put up with it. I guess that's a thing for the single don't have a tree crowd. They don't like to be tree shamed. All that stuff's on the way on the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Convention, Strzok ridiculed the Trump family, messaging Page in all caps, turn it on, 3 exclamation points. The douchebags are about to come out. You can tell by the excitable clapping.
Oh, my God.
Keep in mind, this is the man the New York Times described as, quote, one of the most experienced and trusted FBI counterintelligence investigators. Other fawning accounts in the press painted him as a fusion of Sherlock Holmes, J. Edgar Hoover, and Batman. When you read his text, Peter Strzok sounds a lot like the sixth host of The View.
That's from Tucker Carlson last night, who he's quickly becoming my favorite show on cable. It's just, he's so over the top, but good.
Yeah.
You know, and I really like it. And I like hearing Tucker say, here come the douchebags.
Oh, boy, too much. Too much.
The douchebags are about to come out.
Oh, jeez. Stop it with the everybody.
That's from the FBI.
Whatever happened to decorum? Whatever happened to the high road?
Yeah? That's from the FBI agent's texts.
Right.
And, you know.
Evidence.
Yeah, well, yeah. It either is or isn't. We'll talk more about that later. I also want to talk about flying into L.A. to meet with our agent at his Oceanside office. And
I don't think we ought to talk about that.
That was pretty entertaining. And then on the way back on the flight.
I mean, if we talk about it, the studio might not make the third movie in the 3-movie deal because there's a confidentiality thing.
So, right. He did walk out in a robe that didn't quite fit.
Oh, boy. Well, and I'm impressed.
The
DB text is not the text we should be talking about.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
The insurance text. This insurance policy will ensure you. I should have prepared this in advance.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about that.
We'll get into the meat of it. Yeah, I thought that was the most entertaining thing, just because it's Tucker Carlson.
The
saying.
Douchebags are about to come out.
Jeez, stop! Tucker. Make him stop,
Tucker.
There's no need for that.
That's a heck of a thing to say
entire family.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. We'll get into that later. Yeah. I also wanted to, like I said, we flew to meet our agent. Flying back from LAX. As soon as I land, I turn on my phone like everybody in the world does now. Heard Bob Schieffer once say that used to be when you landed, everybody'd immediately get out of cigarette. Now everybody immediately gets out their phones, but everybody does. But I turn on my phone, I got 15 texts.
giggity. Whoa.
Yeah, what the hell went on?
Uh-oh.
I click on, my wife says, at the ER. That's the first thing I read.
At the ER?
At the ER?
Oh, no.
Because she's watching the kids. What?
Oh, boy.
So I'll have to tell that story later.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I either know something's gone terribly wrong or a celebrity has died and all the fellers who work here are making really inappropriate jokes via text. That is the only reason I have a dozen texts. So a little net neutrality coming up as well. Nice little note from David in beautiful Umpqua, Oregon. For Sean, next year, one of my cats will be Fagafy. Word. One cat owner to another. One of his cats will be a friend of Armstrong and Getty over 15 years. That is an old radio listening cat. Mm-hmm. But thanks for checking in, David.
Seem to have misaddressed your comment, as I do not own a cat, but your sentiment is delightful.
Nope, you're a cat guardian. That's right. I appreciate that attitude. How much time do we have? We actually have quite a bit of time. I'm currently a mortuary science student, writes, does she want us to give her name? Michaela.
Always interested by people who go into that line of work.
Mm-hmm.
Guy I knew in high school, good, fun-loving dude, just regular dude, and then that's what he wanted to do.
What do you mean, good, fun-loving dude? Not a necrophiliac, is that what you're trying to say?
No, I don't assume.
Is that what you're hinting at?
I don't assume that everybody gets into that business as a necrophiliac.
That is really harsh, man. That is harsh.
Wouldn't you expect it to be somebody who dresses in all black and, like, walks around with her head down, shuffling down the hall
kinda
or something?
Kind of doer and deathy. Yeah.
And he was him.
Yeah, you know.
How are you drawn to that?
Yeah, Michaela, drop us a note. How did you get interested in that? I mean, it's interesting. It's important. It is a service for people at a time where they need you to be very good at what you do.
Oh, it's a vocation and an opportunity to really help people. Yeah,
right, you can make some money too. But I was talking about opening. What did I call it? Joe's House of Corpses, or I can't even remember. It was going to be kind of a cut-rate funeral home. And I'd be super nice to people, but I'm not interested in going through some sort of lengthy licensing. Good Lord. I am new to your country. Licensing process. Yes, there's a very lengthy process for obtaining a license to legally work in the funeral industry, schooling, find a licensing program, completing a 2-year internship under a licensed mortician.
Get over the ooginess.
Before you can even take the state board exam. So Joe's funeral home will run you quite a pretty penny just to mess with the dead. But hey, you never run out of clientele. Thanks for the note, Michaela. But that's the point.
See, she sounds fun-loving. Maybe they're all fun-loving.
I'm not going to bow to the state's, you know, unjustifiable and irrational demands for licensing and apprenticeship. You know, as I said yesterday, they're already dead. What harm can I do? So you go to Joe's house of you're not alive anymore. I'm still working on the name. You know, we'll take care of everything.
Well, let the mortuary industry license itself. Police itself. That's the way it should work.
We're not going to, like, pose your dearly departed in wacky poses and post them on the web or anything.
Unless you want to.
Right. Right. We're not going to desecrate anybody or anything.
But it's good to know that package is available should you want it.
Right. 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 But we just might not be as good at some of the stuff. But you'll come. It'll be nice. I'll shake your hand and sense your mood and say how sorry I am, and then we'll ship Uncle Jimmy off to, you know, wherever you want him. You know, and you're going to save some money.
Not everybody could do that job. That's what's interesting to me about it, is I can't imagine what draws you to it. And then just, I think most people couldn't do that job. Mm-hmm. You're going to be handling a lot of dead people and positioning them and dressing them. I ain't not doing that.
Right. You know, it's funny. Maybe I speak only for myself. Maybe other people wouldn't react like this, but I had, I believe, every bit as much of the oogies about bodies as anybody. And dealing with some, riding along with homicide detectives, touring a morgue at a coroner's office, actually seeing part of an autopsy, had to look away. Your freak out factor diminishes fairly quickly. The like nausea or, well, just being freaked out. Everybody knows what I mean by freaked out. That diminishes. Then you get into some really heavy thoughts about mortality and life and death and meaning.
That person was alive yesterday.
Right, and now I'm looking at them, yeah. and where's their soul and their thoughts and what they cared about, et cetera, et cetera. And you work through that sort of stuff, and then it's like, hey, I need him moved over there. And then, you know, you function.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an anthropological thing, I would imagine, to be ooged out by dead bodies.
Because absolutely true, yeah.
Often they had disease or whatever, so get away from it. That's what your body is telling you. Get away from that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the millions, zillions of microbes inside of us, it's a party when you croak because there's nothing fighting them anymore. So, yeah, any dead body.
True.
Remember that little viral video with the little girl, the little, like a 2-3-year-old girl? Squeal! Get mommy squeal! She had a dead squirrel she was handling, and it was all hilarious. All I could think was, oh my God, get that out of her hands!
Right.
Don't be handling animal corpses, little one.
Yeah, so it's not just weakness or whatever.
Well, it's A, not wanting to be, and B, a deep revulsion to a corpse. Mm-hmm. For reasons of, you know, disease avoidance.
There you go.
Motivation. It's guided my life. Disease avoidance.
So you're going to explain to us whether net neutrality is good or bad since that's going on today?
Well, I'm going to explain the two sides best I can. But we really need to get to the infamous insurance text.
Yeah, if you haven't heard this one from the FBI texts.
Right. From one FBI agent to another. In fact, from the guy who headed up the Russia investigation. To his illicit lover.
Different text than this one?
The douchebags are about to come out.
No, stop that.
You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.